Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you about another great ESPN podcast, Bald Men on Campus, a new ESPN podcast hosted by Jay Billis, LaPhonso Ellis, and Seth Greenberg. These ESPN basketball personalities give you an all-access pass inside the world of college basketball, talking to the biggest names in the sport. That's Bald Men on Campus. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Also, we are so excited about our new weekday studio show, NBA Today, hosted by Malika Andrews, tipping off the start of the NBA season with exclusive content debuting on ESPN Tuesday, October 19th at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Along with Malika, there will be a full cast of NBA experts and insiders, including Kendrick Perkins, Chinne Ogumike, Vince Carter, Zach Lowe, Adrian Wojnarowski, Ramona Shelburne, and many of our NBA reporters from around the league. Get caught up with the latest from around the NBA, 3 Eastern, noon Pacific, on ESPN and the ESPN app. One app, one tap, and also available as a podcast. Listen to NBA Today wherever you get your podcasts. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. It is Foxworth Friday. Dominique Foxworth, what's going on?
What is up? Just listening to the rock rap and being so appreciative that he's not going to ever do it again, I hope.
Yo, first of all, I didn't think he was that bad.
Yeah, you're wrong.
It could have been way worse, I guess. My fear of what it was going to be. I'm assuming he paid somebody to write that. If I was The Rock, I wouldn't go out there with my own rhymes, not in the midst of professionals.
I think he wrote it himself, but did you see the video? I think maybe that's what made it worse. If you just listen to it, it's bad. If you watch the video along with it, it's really, really bad. He's like giving the people's eyebrow or whatever you call it. He's doing all types of antics and like doing like rap hands, you know, like when rappers do rap hands, it's okay. When you do rap hands, random person, it looks like weird and uncomfortable.
Yeah, I just listened to it on Spotify because it's a Tech N9ne joint. So I just went and listened to it because I knew he had done something. And then I searched for it and I was like, oh, Tech N9ne, like, you know, to be honest, Rock gets a little bit of cred. Like, it's not like he went and got the most famous dude on the block, right?
Yeah.
And so, and Tech N9ne, so excited that The Rock was rapping on his record. Like, if you check any of the interviews, I don't know any of the interviews, I only read one. Let me stop lying. But if you check that one interview that I saw, and I don't even remember where it came from, like, because also Tech N9ne is like, money, 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 money.
That's fair. Because he just got a stream off of you just because The Rock is on there. So he's going to get some money. But I don't know. I guess it gave me an appreciation. I'm being a little unfair. Like, it wasn't atrocious. But, like, rappers do so many things that you don't think about. If you think of, like, the old school rap and how, like, basic it was, like, it kind of felt like that to me. There's very little, like, voice change, very little, like, change in the rhyme scheme or, like, flow change. And there's things that you don't notice. And then there's, like, the lyrics are, like, very simple, which is fine. Like, plenty of successful rappers are not out here for these double entendres or, like, metaphors and all that stuff. That's fine. I'm good with it. But I think you combine the fact that it felt rudimentary with him making eyebrows and doing hands and me also knowing that it's The Rock. It just was not a good visual or sonic experience for me. But, hey, to each their own. I see you going to be bumping The Rock later. I can tell.
I didn't say I was going to listen to it again. I just said it wasn't that bad. Like, at a time like this, everybody just take joy in being like how whack somebody else is as rapping. And see, I think you and I might have a difference on one thing is I don't look at like old rap and think of it as being simple because I understand like obviously like the rhyme schemes change because the beats change. Like once people were able to do more sophisticated things with beats, then it required more of the person who happened to be on the beat. But I tell you this. I went to the Roots Jam session a couple years ago. And so if you don't know, before the Grammys, the Roots will do a show where they play behind just a whole rotation of people, right? It's almost like you have no idea who's going to wind up, you know, getting on stage. And so what's his name? Chuck D got up there, right? And it's Chuck D and Black Thought. And if you don't know this about Black Thought has this amazing ability to sound like any rapper, right? Like if it's a rapper that Black Thought has studied, Black Thought can rap and sound exactly like them. So Black Thought was playing Flavor Flav for Chuck D, which is just, you know, kind of an amazing thought when you think about it. But Chuck got up there and started rapping. And look, he's the god MC, right? There's just kind of no way around that. There ain't nobody better at rapping than Black Thought. We all agree with that. Dude, Chuck D got up there and got on that mic. Ain't nobody better than him neither, right? I am not ever going to be able to say, and I'm a PE dude, so I'm not going to pretend as though he had to convert me or anything right. like that. But I'm here to tell you, them rhymes that back in the day wasn't the most complex, I heard Chuck D do it, and I was like, good luck to anybody else to get up there and do that, boy. It ain't easy.
Yeah. We talking about two different back in the days. I'm talking about back in the day. I'm talking like Sugar Hill Gang, like that. That's what when I say back in the day, that's a simple rhyme scheme. It's evolved since then, and like the message is obviously a very like deep, smart rap, but it also like there's like no flow change in the message. I've said the stuff evolves over time. It gets better, it gets worse, it changes. But that's all I'm saying is like the Rock sounds like he's rapping like it's 1979.
Yeah, and the beat was not 1979, right? Like, because that's the thing, man. If the beat's 1979, you can rap like it's 1979, you know. But a whole lot happened since the last Foxworth Friday. Like, I guess, you know, we don't necessarily want to break down the wall per se, but people know when this thing come out at 9 o'clock on Friday that we didn't just finish it up at 7:30. You know, we do Foxworth Thursday to give you guys Foxworth Friday, and the whole damn world exploded like Thursday night. And I hated people like, man, I hope this is all Foxworth Friday. I'm like, keep hoping, buddy. And so John Gruden, they sent out the thing about him saying that Damaris Smith had big lips. John Gruden didn't understand that they were just giving you a little taste of what was coming. Sunday, we got all the people on TV trying to figure out how to talk about it. Mike Tirico. Yeah, I guess we can do that.
Well, I appreciate that Mike Tirico even stepped foot in there because, like, I mean, so few Italians are comfortable talking about issues that involve Black people and race. So I commend Mike Tirico for getting in the mix. I don't agree what he said, but he got in the mix as an Italian American.
Well, I imagine that somebody at the meeting was like, look, I think the audience wants to hear specifically from you, Tony, and from you, Mike. And Mike's like, why? why do you think? Oh, of course, because I was his partner on Monday Night Football for 7 years.
Did they, when they put together this team, did they like think that the fact that sports and race and politics now seem to be firmly integrated in sports conversation? Did they not think that was a thing? Because I can't think of a crew like Drew Brees, Mike Tirico, and Tony Dungy. Like, it's hard to think of a crew. Well, I guess people think Tony Dungy is comfortable in that space, or at least people.
He wasn't uncomfortable.
Well, yeah, I think it's me. It's like,
yes,
I'm uncomfortable. When I heard that, I don't know if it was you that brought it up to me, but somebody said like, oh, wait till that Sunday night crew get on it. And I like cringe. Like I was made uncomfortable. Like they needed to bring Rodney Harrison back in or something, somebody. And not that
Rodney
Harrison.
Are you sure
about
that? Are you sure that Rodney Harrison was going to make it better?
I'm not sure at all, but the crew that they had.
Rodney Harrison didn't know Colin Kaepernick was Black. Remember that?
That's fair. I do remember that. That would have at least been fun. What they did wasn't fun. made me sad.
Dude, Drew Brees, what I want to know is, did they opt Drew Brees out or did Drew Brees opt himself out? Like, fellas, I'm not touching this.
You got to opt in if you're Drew Brees in that moment.
Well, you heard me talk about this, or you may not have, but, and you would know this, right? You were heavily involved in the talks with the 2011 lockout. Yeah. Drew Brees was on the executive committee. And Drew Brees was nowhere to be found. They redid the set so that Drew Brees wouldn't have to be there.
If I'm Drew Brees, I'm waiting for my next opportunity. Because, like, what people remember about Drew Brees and race is, like, he said the wrong thing. And then he went on a learning tour. Like, I learned some stuff. I can't wait. I'm now a pioneer. Like, I cannot wait for somebody to say something stupid so I can come out and start quoting stuff that I read and showing off. Even Drew Brees, like, Tony Dungy and Mike Tirico were, like, air quotes, showing John Gruden some grace. Drew Brees could have done that in a way that's like, look, man, I've said things that I'm not proud of because I was ignorant. And I know you think that at 48, when Gruden started sending these messages, you're a fully developed man. I was a full-grown man, but I wasn't fully developed in that way. As a white man in society, we experience some privilege. So, like, I hope that this is a great moment for John Gruden in the same way that it was a great moment for me. Today, I was reading, and I don't know, Ta-Nehisi Coates pick somebody. Today, I decided to watch some old Baldwin interviews, and from that, this is what I learned. Drew Brees would have been a mother star. Like, it'd have been his moment. They'd have gave him so much, so many more commercials and so much more money. But instead, like, I don't know, maybe it's just me. I'm cynical, no. But I was like, this your chance, Drew. This your chance.
You say Drew Brees should act like he went to Morehouse. Morehouse dudes love to stand up in front of a room, but the first sentence always be, it reminds me of when I was reading Rudyard Kipling. And it ain't got a damn thing to do with Rudyard Kipling. So you know that somebody told him, nah, man, it's what you do. Just say, oh, yeah, that sounds like something. That sounds like something. That sounds like something W.E.B. Du Bois would say. And then they go ahead and do that. Yeah, Drew Brees had that moment that he could have jumped up. Or if Drew Brees did not want to jump up in that way, Drew Brees had this option. I mean, all I'm saying is Malcolm Jenkins said, me. I ain't say nothing like that. Yeah. Drew Brees had to come in there and talk to the whole team. He got to be like, look, I'm just telling you guys now. I know what it was for me. And all I did was say that I love America. I ain't say nothing like what he said. That's what Drew Brees need to be standing on the table. This is what we can't stand for. I was a thin hair away from cancellation.
Yeah.
John Gruden must go.
Yeah, I mean, what Drew said is like, I can understand how somebody naive enough could get there. There is no defense for John Gruden, you know? Like,
no.
You know, there, like, you don't get there. Those things don't come out your mouth. And Drew Brees, if for no other reason than to, like, remind people of that particular difference, that I'd have been there sitting there smiling and, like, remember when I said what I said? This is the problem. Me? I was just dumb. I was just ignorant. I'm not prejudiced, just ignorant.
The other level with John Gruden, like, now I got you here. Like, I had to do all the deep and important stuff earlier week. No. You know what I'm saying? I had to lay it out. And then, you know, people calling me that they never called me before. So I had to go on there, you know, and give them the serious stuff they were looking for. What does not help John Gruden in this case is we can all imagine in our heads the John Gruden voice. As he says these things, we can imagine the John Gruden face. Like, has anybody yet? I know that, like, somebody might find this to be triggering. I myself will find it to be a little bit hilarious because that's just how I cope, perhaps. How has nobody put these emails in front of Frank Caliendo and set up a camera and been like, all right, baby, let's go?
A nice man, a funny comedian, but he ain't got the guts.
I'm just saying, is he still cashing NFL checks? Because if he's not still cashing NFL checks, this is the greatest work that Frank Caliendo could have ever pulled off, just reading through these emails. Like, I remember once, my man Poppy, they once had him on the radio reading excerpts of 50 Shades of Grey, which is one of the funniest things that I have ever heard in my life. It would be just about as funny, except it really would be like John Gruden just being John Gruden, reading John Gruden. And I would love to hear every word of it because I'm sorry, man. I don't get offended by the craziness that he was saying. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Like, I think it's whack. I think you're ridiculous. And, you know, under certain circumstances at a different point in life, we might have been scrapping it out over this. But not because you hurt my feelings, just because we don't tolerate disrespect. Right. You know, and it's a wide range of disrespect. But woo, buddy, he was so old school and old timey, I can't help but laugh.
I mean, I had the same response. And so, like, I'm the second person that people call when you won't show up. I had to do a lot of the same things that you did, but I refused to just be serious. So I gave him the serious stuff off the top, but then the jokes come in. I was on Get Up roasting everybody.
Oh, yes.
I had a good time with it because, I mean, for me, it's not going to ruin my day like you. I have to, like, respect you, I think, for it to upset me and hurt my feelings, but also, like, it's a kind of dual message thing. So, like, my message is, I don't quite care what John Gruden said, but also you need to know that this is unacceptable, and I know he ain't the only one.
Right. Yo, I think you may have heard me tell this story, but have you heard me tell the story of the day that Riley Cooper got caught up?
Tell it.
All right, so I imagine some listeners have heard this before, but I personally think it's a funny story, so I'm going to tell it again because that's what friends do, right? So, it was a Friday in August of 2013, and Riley Cooper was at a Kenny Chesney concert and said that he was going to fight every N-word who was there. And I mean, I have to say, as a professional athlete, saying you're going to fight three people, I just don't find that to be that impressive. But, you know, like, that's what he was going to do. And so the video went out. But on that Friday in August of 2013, there was a little something going on called the National Association of Black Journalists Convention, all right? I, on that day, was driving from Miami to Orlando to come fellowship with my fellow Afro-American journalists, right? But the thing is, it's a convention, so it's, you know, a big hotel space. Cell coverage is typically spotty on top of the fact that there's, you know, panels and people got stuff to do. I say all that to say, if you needed a black person to talk to, they were basically all there and basically all unavailable. Now, 2013 is the year that I signed a contract to start doing Highly Questionable. So I'm just now like on the list for producers, because producers of TV shows, they got like a sweet spot for who they call for different things. They're like, okay, they know who to call. They know who'll say yes. Oh, and that's the biggest thing. A TV producer wants somebody that'll say yes above all else. So they know all those things. And I'm guessing that all they people, like for SportsCenter, they were tied up. They were not available. But me, I was on the road. That meant I had my phone. And they called me and they asked me if I could talk about Riley Cooper. And I said, sure. And I don't remember who it was that I was on with. It was one of our Caucasian brothers. And, you know, he went to that place. It was a very special episode of SportsCenter. You know, like it was real solemn. He had to bass in his voice. I mean, he had everything in his voice to make sure that you understood. We are taking this seriously. Little did he know that he was on the phone with somebody who was doing the exact opposite thing. I was not here to take this seriously. I find this to be equal parts ridiculous and hilarious. And so he's asking questions. I got jokes, and he's not prepared for jokes, right? Like sometimes sports, you know, they're ready to get a little loose with you and they can bounce off you. No, he had his questions. I am a white man talking to not just any black man, that black man. I imagine he'd heard about me, right, even if I wasn't on the list. And he's being all serious. And I ain't got nothing that he's expecting. Should the Philadelphia Eagles release Riley Cooper? I'm like, I mean, I guess they can. I won't trip if they do. But, I mean, if he can still come in and hang out with them dudes, it ain't really a big deal, then you should go ahead and do it. Not the answer they're expecting, right? They expect me to burn this down. I'm like, nah, if they can tolerate it, then they can deal with it. And then, of course, Riley Cooper did stay. And they tolerated it, but DeSean Jackson didn't look that man in the eye for an entire season while they were out there. But no, they just got the wrong dude. I was like, nah, this is funny. This dude really said this, and he said it in this place?
I'm sure that I know you remember this, but I don't know if everyone remembers this. Like, I'm working on a project now that involves, like, that old 2007-8-ish Florida team. Riley Cooper was on that team.
Yes.
That team with Tebow and Percy Harvin and Aaron Hernandez, like all those guys was there and Riley Cooper was there too. That is the sitcom I want to see. I want to see a sitcom based on Riley Cooper, but I guess he's played football enough that it probably wouldn't be as funny or interesting as I've made it up to be in my mind.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that, because that wide receiver room, he played football, but like high school football teams are more balanced on the races. You know what I'm saying? Like it ain't like your high school football team at a school that's got black people and white people. It ain't like the University of Alabama, which I think is like 80% white, and the football team is 98% black. It ain't that. Like, there's white dudes on the team. He got to college and he's sitting down in a room with Percy Harvin. Like, yeah, Tim Tebow may have been your roommate, but I have lots of questions about how it went for you the first time. Not just that you met Percy Harvin, but that you perhaps ran afoul of him. But I also hear that Riley Cooper can scrap.
Of course. Yeah. I mean.
No, but he like MMA type. Okay. Like he can
scrap amongst professional athletes.
Yes.
I'm sure he fought. Like, that's just a thing that happened in all locker rooms back then. I'm sure I assume they've stopped it now. But, like, every college locker room, I think, had two pair of boxing gloves. And sometimes when there was disagreements, or also just because we had nothing else to do, you go in there and you fight. I suspect Riley Cooper was misjudged. I suspect Riley Cooper gave somebody the business at one point, and that he was probably cool for that time from that point forward.
A lesson was learned. Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training, just in time for summer and warmer days. I've been in the gym a little bit trying to get my fitness in check so I can break these skinny allegations I keep getting. Spring is the best time of the year to take a new look at your fitness routine, dial it up a notch, and continue powering on. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row, or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout. Whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals while challenging yourself at every level. Now you can catch up on your favorite NBA games with NBA League Pass while you push yourself to new levels of fitness. Watch your favorite games and win your workouts with NBA League Pass on Peloton and visit onepeloton.com. Peloton All Access membership and NBA League Pass subscription required. Have you ever heard the best story ever about locker room misjudgment? It's not in the same vein, but still a great one. Does the name Fuad Rivais ring a bell to you?
I know who he is. He whooped somebody?
Hold on. He didn't just whoop somebody. So for those of you who don't know, Fuad Rivais was a kicker. He kicked at Tennessee in college. He kicked for the Dolphins. He kicked for the Vikings. And while he kicked for the Vikings, Fuad Rivais...
No.
I don't know
not,
if he
not John Randall.
Challenge. Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes. Yes. He challenged John Randall to wrestle. But the thing is, Fuad Rivais was a state champion wrestler. And John Randall wore wrestling paint on his face, but I don't think that he actually had training at this. Fuad Rivais gave it to him.
That's incredible. We've had debates like that in locker room before where it's like random linebacker in a street fight with Floyd Mayweather, what would happen? Because Floyd Mayweather is a tiny man, but obviously he's very skilled. And like 10 times, if that fight happens 10 times, who do you think wins?
Floyd Mayweather 10 times.
Yeah. And a random street fight. So I don't know. I guess that was where I would lean. But the argument of like, if you can get your hands on him, like you run and do a Goldberg spear, yeah. It's over, yeah. Floyd. I don't care how quick your hands are.
But you can't. That's the thing. Training. I talked to a dude who said he had gotten into boxing and he was going for it. But I think after he started having matches, his record was about 500. And one thing that you will notice, you don't hear a lot about boxers at the Mendoza line. It does not take long. Like ain't nobody coming back from down 3-1 in their boxing career. No. Once you are down 3-1, we packing it in. Yep. Like, there's nothing left to do. He said he was about 50-50, and he decided to let it go. But he said, and this is a regular, you know, he was a college athlete, but, you know, regular dude for purposes of this discussion. He was like, if you have not had any boxing training, you don't want it with me.
Yeah.
Like, he was just like, he knows enough where you just can't do it. So Floyd Mayweather, as soon as you try that spear, like, the thing about the random street fight, that dude doesn't become untrained just because it's a street fight. So maybe you can hit him with a chain or something like that. You know what I'm saying? But nope. Floyd gonna hit you in the face. And the next point, and this is important. Have you watched the Ken Burns Ali documentary?
Not yet.
Okay, it is excellent. I highly recommend you watch it. But one of the big things that makes it very good is without being like self-righteous about it, they really drive home the brutality of boxing, right? Just what the pain is. So they talk about when Frazier won the first fight against Ali, they talk about that. But then there's a long thing about all the injuries that Frazier suffered in that fight. Because you feel like since he won it, you know, it doesn't really matter, right? Man, let me tell you something about our good friend, the Jab. And I ain't talking about no vaccine. I'm just talking about the jab. The Ali doc does a good job of it. And if you ever go watch a boxing match in person, we are really selling the jab short in terms of what it actually does. Because, you know, ESPN gets boxing. My buddy Corey, you know, doesn't work with the zone. So he's got me into, a couple fights. Man, them jabs are so hard. Yeah. Like you just can't see on TV. And because the cats be eating them jabs and still coming. Dude. Jab, somebody told me that, and I don't know if Floyd's not a heavyweight, but a boxing trainer once told me that getting jabbed by a heavyweight, I don't remember if he said it's like dropping a 20-pound weight for a 25-story building or a 25-story weight from a 25-pound weight from a 20-story building, but at that point, what's the big deal, right? That's all I'm saying. Floyd Mayweather catching any of us with his 147 pounds, and we are donezo.
I think that was where I leaned, but it's a good argument on the other side because the argument, like, Floyd's not a knockout puncher, and linebackers are accustomed to taking shots to the head, and linebackers are also accustomed to tackling people. So, like, it's not crazy to think that a linebacker could eat, one, maybe two. I don't know how many jabs he's going to get in. It's not unbelievable to think that a linebacker could complete the tackle on Floyd, eat whatever punches he delivers. And then, I mean, at that point, Floyd's not a wrestler. At that point, I got to give it to the 250-pound man who has been trained to kill people.
While I understand where you're coming from, let us be clear. Floyd is not a knockout puncher in boxing.
I understand that. But he's a linebacker. Like, it's not like it's a random dude. Get their bell rung.
It'll look like Lil Mac fighting Ball Bull. Ball Bull to get in that crouch. Ball Bull to make that approach. Floyd just going to hit him with that one.
Yeah, you're probably right. People tend to underappreciate how difficult things are because we get accustomed to professionals doing it. Like anything that a pro does, go ahead and try to do it. If you don't do it, you're going to be bad.
No. It's not happening. And I imagine at some point some football player has tried this with Floyd Mayweather because he seems like the kind of dude that people. Hey, T, I tried to fight him.
I've run into Floyd a couple of times. It's like always four enormous dudes around Floyd. Ain't nobody trying them.
Yo, I have to say, the only time I've ever stumbled into Floyd, it was just like classically Miami. Because when I lived in Miami, I lived a few blocks away from the Fountain Blue. So I would just go down there for lunch. You know, like it was walking distance. And I walked in there one night in the big lobby and the old, not the new tower, but you know, the one that's farther north. And I just walked in there and Floyd was just sitting at the bar or like at a table because it was facing. And I was surprised that he didn't have the people out there. In Floyd in Miami, you always feel like, you know, it's Floyd, even if you don't, because it's going to be some like $200,000 car with Nevada plates. Like anytime I would see something like that, I'm like, oh, Floyd's in town.
Yeah, I used to run into him in Vegas every now and then. I remember like I wasn't buying nothing in the Versace store, but I was with people who might have. So I was just walking around the Versace store and watching how the employees there treated us once Floyd walked in. Invisible. He walked in. They just
disappeared.
We just disappeared on him. Because at first, they was like, let's see if we can sell these fools a $2,000 shirt. And then Floyd walked in. It was like, we know we can sell that fool a $2,000 shirt. And ran over there.
Man, I'll never forget the first time I ever went to a Versace store. It was the year 1997 in Atlanta. And so I had just gotten to college. And I didn't even know, like, Lennox. I mean, we did Lennox, and I didn't know there's like places that has had a Versace store, you know. And let's be honest, I don't think I had heard of Versace until like 18 months beforehand when the rappers popped up with it, right? And so we in the Versace store, and I remember we saw Candy Burris in the Versace store, right? And I was like, okay, cool, you know, this is like my Atlanta, like this is what it's gonna be. And then the second time I went, because the first time I went, I started looking at the price tags, and I couldn't believe what was going on. And I went and I asked the dude at the counter, I said, what's the cheapest thing you got in this store? And he said, it's a keychain. And I said, how much that keychain costs? He said, $50. This is $1997, dollars, all right? Because I'm at that age now where I got to let y'all control for inflation, right? So every time we went to the Versace store after that, it would mortify one of my good friends because he believed he was too classy for this. But we would play a game called Name That Price, where we would just walk around the Versace store and pick something up and look at it and then scream across the store, hey, how much you think this costs?
Yeah, I'd have been embarrassed. I'm with your friend. Like, I don't think I'm that classy, but I would have been ashamed of y'all country fools in the Versace store.
Why we got to be country? That's some country to do.
Chicago people are country too. You know about the Great Migration. Chicago ain't nothing but northern Mississippi.
I'm just saying, what is country about being blown away by exorbitant prices?
I don't know. I think it's just being comfortable with yelling across a store that way. I feel like me and my northeastern sensibilities or mid-Atlantic sensibilities, I would be like, I'm just going to walk by this store.
I live in New York, okay? Yeah. If there's anything they comfortable doing here, it's yelling out across the store.
That's fair.
It may not be about the price. But they yelling across the store. God. You ain't about to get too good for me now from Baltimore.
I'm not saying I'm too good. You just more secure than I am. I would be embarrassed.
That's right.
It's not about being better or worse. I just would be ashamed in the store. If I have to yell across the store, maybe I should be at this store. That's not a store for me.
I'm just saying, they the ones selling $1,000 shirts. I'm not supposed to be ashamed.
They should be ashamed too.
That's you damn right. And they should hear me and be ashamed that, wow, this is the response that our prices are eliciting.
They just work there, Bo. They just work there.
They just work there. They getting a commission off these ridiculous shirts. They part of the problem.
Well, you're part of the solution. I'm going today. Find me an expensive store to yell in.
Yeah, man. I wonder if I could get away with that now, would people recognize.
Nah, they recognize you. Well, I don't know. I feel like maybe our fan base is not up in Versace stores.
I don't know. I mean, I told you the Rolex story.
That's true. You know what? I was listening to some old school songs the other day. And like, I mean, not old school, but old hip hop songs. If I Ruled the World. It's funny how broke we were as rappers back in the day.
Yes.
Because like Nas rapping about an Acura. Like,
yes.
You get roasted if you rapping about an Acura. Now, you better be if you are rapping about an Acura, you better be rapping about the tough times. Like, that better be your song about your mama, how much you loved her because she took you to school in the Acura.
Or you better have, like, a classic Acura legend. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, we will never be able to explain the Acura legend was goals, man. It was goals, and it was dope. Like, Ludacris say he still got his first Acura legend. Like, when you say Acura legend, people's ears perk up, because that's the thing. But you go back and look at videos, we was real excited about them expeditions, man. Like everybody was just getting there. Like, think about this. When do you think the last time is that Puffy besmirched his buttocks with the leather from a Lexus?
Oh, my gosh.
Puffy, he has no respect for Lexus.
He ain't been in one of them fancy Toyotas in years. He would never besmirch his buns or the soles of his shoes with those foolish mats that they have under there.
No. My favorite, If I Ruled the World, what I'll always remember about that song is I was listening to it with my dad once, and my dad wasn't really about this rap. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That wasn't really his bag. And
hold on, can I guess?
I think you already know, so okay. I don't want you to.
Okay,
I think you're correct.
Okay,
I think you're correct.
I'll tell you.
As I go, let me know if I'm getting closer, right? And I'm trying to explain to my dad that, you know, this is rap that's, you know, I don't want to say positive, but you know what I'm saying? Aspirational at the very least. Trying to make the world better. And Nas had a line in there. I'd open every cell
in Attica.
Attica. And my dad was like, why would you do that?
Like, where in Africa? And also, like, is this a reward to them? Is this a punishment to Africa? Like, I don't know. Why they gotta leave? Like, it's a penal colony? We doing Australia out here?
He's like, why don't you send them some engineers? Why don't you send them some doctors? And of course, that then leads us to 3 or 4 years later when Nas does Belly, and his whole plan is just to go to Africa with nothing more specific. And then once again, by a T-Boss, baby, let's just go to Africa. Where? 2 tickets to Africa City, please.
I think that it must, Africa City. That must
like,
have
where
been,
are you going?
No, it was like, it was a metaphor for something. Like, he doesn't actually mean to send them to Africa, and him and T-Boss weren't actually going to go to Africa. It was about a black utopia that he created in his mind. That's the best I could do, because that's nonsense.
Whole ass Africa.
He's a grown man.
The whole Africa.
Open every cell in Attica and send them to Africa. So, like, are they supposed to be happy about that? These people got locked up in America. I love to visit Africa. I ain't trying to get sent there.
Well, I would also like to note that Attica has a, shall we say, diverse population.
That's fair.
You know, like, it ain't just African-Americans in Attica. You sending the Nazis over there.
I mean, he's going to make Coretta Scott King mayor all the cities. And, like, it feels like everything else in the song is, like, while there are many other dumb lines, it's clear that they are meant to be positive. Like, he going to give women self-esteem so they don't have to act the way that they act. Like, he going to do all this good stuff. That is the lone line in the whole song that's like, is that a reward, a punishment? What are you doing?
Dog, and nobody in the room was like, man, Nas, I don't know about that one.
I'm going to send you to Africa City.
Africa City, man. African, you gonna go, they going to fly into Africa International. You gonna get there? Like, is there gonna be a vaccination program before they get over there? You know what I'm saying? The next thing you know, it's gonna be former felons contract malaria. Oh, right now, the African hospitals are overloaded because Nas decided he wanted to do something.
Yeah. First of all, pick a country, pick a city, and whatever country or city, they don't want no criminals. Like, maybe some of these guys are falsely accused, but you send the murderers over there too. Like, they don't want that. What did they do to you? What did Africa do to you? Maybe he's trying to get revenge for Africans selling slaves. He's like, you know what? Y'all sold some of us. So are we sending the ones back that you don't want?
Wow. John Gruden got us here. Well, we was about to talk about that Sean Taylor thing, but it's an evolving story, so yeah. We gonna stop because we be fools by tomorrow. So we could talk about the thing that we know is just gonna be steady. How tired do you think James Harden is of Kyrie, man?
Oh my gosh. I heard your show and how of all of those players, James Harden probably needs this more than most for as far as his the way we remember him. Did you listen? I assume you did listen to the Kyrie IG story.
I listened to 5 minutes. I was live. Not giving it more than 5 minutes.
I listened to the whole thing, man. And it's you and I. And I think I got this from you. My inclination was to talk about Kyrie the way I would with my friends, which I think is not a smart thing to do or not a responsible thing for a black man to do in the media.
Right.
So while I'm watching this, I'm looking for something to grab onto. And there is precious little in there. This man said God body. He out here talking in 5%. Yeah, he said God body. He talking in 5% of language.
He said God body.
This man said God body. This is what I'm going to grab onto. There is like kernels of truth. Kernels is the right word because you can't digest corn, right? So there are kernels of truth in that life. But there's so few. And what I can say about him is he's sincere. And like it feels like he's looking for something. I think we've all kind of been there before. He's looking for something, but he can't find it. And he's trying to talk his way into finding it. And he just wants to be left alone. It just doesn't make sense. Yeah, it's uncomfortable.
Hold on. He thinks we the 85?
Yeah.
And you know what? I just realized we got a whole generation of kids who did not grow up with rap that was interspersed with references to crackpot religions.
Yes.
And I really think you guys lost out on this. Like, I do feel like I learned a lot about what was going on in different places because cats used to rap about their religion and they'd be like, you can't rap about God, but you can rap about God body, right? Like that was always this. So the 5% nation, the way it works is they believe that 85% of the world is lost, clueless, and does not know. 10% of the world is responsible for the wickedness of the planet. And the 5%, God's chosen few, there's an enlightened 5% that actually knows what's going on, and they are charged with the responsibility of spreading the truth to the 85. The thing about Kyrie is he clearly believes that he's the 5, but he don't be explaining nothing to the 85. So we over here just as confused as we ever were. Save us, Kyrie. Yeah. Tell us what the you're talking about. Yeah,
that's the hard part is like, it's just word salad, man. Like it's, you can tell that like he watches YouTube videos or reads stuff from spiritual people. He speaks in that vernacular, but he never gets to the point or he like rarely gets to the point. And like the points that he has are not points that anyone is arguing against, but they also are not points that justify the position that he's taken. And it feels like he's also like saying, I'm not taking a position. But the one thing that I can say, like in all this, he's like, I just want everybody to do what they want to do and just be. And like, I'm just a hooper. And like, the world is this crazy place. And like, I'm the crazy one. And like, he makes the argument that so much crazy stuff has happened, though he doesn't use the word crazy, but just so much ridiculous things have happened that the rest of the world has become ridiculous. And I recognize that the world is ridiculous. Like, that's the best way to try to distill what it seems like he's saying. It's like, I'm recognizing that the world is ridiculous, which feels very much like 5% of language. It's like, I recognize that all y'all are acting ridiculous because you are responding to all this ridiculous input, but I'm not going to allow it to change me and have me acting ridiculous. And that just is uncomfortable and kind of sad.
This dude. It's just like, I'm not going to play.
Yeah.
You know, and here's my thing about it. He doesn't have to justify this to me. If he is willing to pass up on them checks and pass up on playing to do this. He doesn't have to justify it to me. It's just wild that he's actually doing it. Like, look, this is your call. I think that within a team dynamic and all of that stuff, probably a little bit foul. But hey, you're right, man. If you don't want to put that in your body, you don't have to put that in your body. Your logic for not putting that in your body seems to be incredibly suspect. But if that's the call that you're making, you don't have to justify it. But he knows this is ridiculous, yeah. Right? Like, that's the thing. He knows this is ridiculous. He knows why it sounds ridiculous. He also knows all his partners thought that he was going to be coming through, yeah. Right? They're just like, all right, cool. He's going to wind up getting it. And he didn't. And now they just all up there. You see, the Nets say they're not going to extend his contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, but Kyrie didn't grow up poor and disconnected, as far as I understand.
No. And like, I don't think so.
I have some sympathy, is not the word. Maybe it is. I just have some understanding for people who grew up like that. I have some understanding of them being trepidatious about this, because I could understand living my whole life feeling like they don't care about me. They being the government or the powers that be in this country. Like, we needed bridges built. They ain't built bridges. Our schools was terrible. They didn't fix that. We had all types of shit in our water and they didn't clean it out. Now, all of a sudden, you show up and you tell me, like, I can understand that, because you have been functionally on the outskirts of society your entire life. Now they want to bring me in. I don't trust that. But
that ain't him.
That ain't him. And so I guess maybe he feels like he is standing for them. But it feels to me like the right thing right now for those people is to get vaccinated. I don't know. I think, to your point, though, I had this conversation on Debatable the other day. And again, like, it was the black man in media. I felt like I had to say something that was like, you got to respect Kyrie. And the point I was making is he is comfortable with the consequences. And if you make a decision and you're comfortable with the consequences, I analogized it to Colin Kaepernick, which was kind of sloppy, but they got the point. And I was saying how it's sometimes the principles are bad, but if it's principled, like, we celebrate people who stand on principle. We celebrate people who will go to jail rather than go to Vietnam. We celebrate those people who will get blackballed out of the league rather than stand up for the national anthem. It just so happens that he is, I think Howard Bryant said,
he's it. Doing it for a reason that's stupid.
Yeah,
like that,
yeah, he's a martyr looking for a cause. Yeah.
Yeah, like I made two mistakes on the last podcast. One, I said LeBron won 3 championships instead of 4, and that's my bad. And I realized I just forgot, and maybe it's because it was 2020. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just got caught in the glut of everything else. But I was like, ain't never been a star player to quit for no good reason. And this dude wasn't a star, but that dude, Adam LaRoche, who quit the White Sox because he couldn't bring his son around, and he said his son can learn more in a baseball clubhouse than he could in school, which if Kyrie Irving had said something like that, I mean, oh, yeah. We gave it to LaRoche at the time also, but if Kyrie had said that, we'd have been like off the deep, just like, what in the world are you talking about? But this dude ain't going to quit. He said he doesn't want to retire. The Nets got to trade him. Like, by the time we come back and do another Foxworth Friday, unlike the Sixers, who are in a trick bag with Simmons, because I don't think they can win a championship with him, but I don't think they can win a championship by trading him because they're going to get worse. I think the Nets can maybe still win a championship without Kyrie.
Absolutely. If those two teams...
I wouldn't have him on the team by the next Foxworth Friday.
If those two teams can make the trade, then that's the tough part for the Sixers, is you're going to go ahead and send Ben Simmons up there so they can win a championship? Like, if those teams are willing to make a trade, that's a smart trade to make, because you get the things that you need. Both teams need somebody who is comfortable making big shots in big moments and also a ball handler, and somebody who's going to be willing to play perimeter defense and also don't want no shots. Like, can you imagine? There's no better place for him to land than a place where he can just distribute, play defense, and there's nobody clogging up the lane. They don't have a big man to speak of. Like, that team becomes a juggernaut immediately with him, and we think about him entirely differently if he lands there, right? Like, he's the second coming of LeBron if he ends up there.
Nah, but you're right, though. Neither one of those teams can make the other team better.
Right.
Just on GP. Like, neither one of them can get down and make that move. I had somebody hit me. It was funny. Somebody hit me. It was like, yo, Kyrie, I need to be paying tithes because he keeping ESPN's lights on. Like, nah, John Gruden keeping the lights on, baby. Yeah. Like, this Kyrie thing, it's out of gas now until either he come back or they trade him, because it's not like the Nets are going to start the season 2-8. Like, if they did that, then it would turn into a thing. But I saw they asked Harden yesterday if he had talked to Kyrie. No, I ain't talked to him. He can't believe this. Last year, James Harden was the problem. James Harden probably had to really be like, damn, I really was tripping last year, huh?
And first of all, the Cowboys keep the lights on all the time. Yes. So all y'all can shout on up. And if only the soap opera that is the NBA actually translated to people watching the games. Like, the NBA would be the greatest reality show in the history of the world if they could sell the rights to watch the backdoor interactions. Because I remember thinking, I don't know, maybe it was a decade ago, that we all felt like, because of social media, the NBA is on the come, and like, everyone's going to know these stars, and that's going to translate to people wanting to watch the games. No, everyone knows these stars, so they want to read what they're doing. Like, it's a weird, weird dynamic. People care, obviously, basketball fans and sports fans like us, we care about what happens on the court, but all these other ancillary fans that they thought they were going to get, nah, they just want to know who they dating and when they got beef, if they got problems, and they want to see that stuff.
Yeah, man. No, this is... By the way, basketball season starts in like a week or something like that.
Nothing starts until football's over.
Yo, that's the thing. That's the thing. But I think that's good for the NBA, though. Do that. Everybody get up to speed. Then Christmas, when people are ready to start paying attention. Right. Then boom. You know, everybody's in shape.
Yeah.
Everybody got themselves a way to go. Like, that's probably the best thing. But hey, that is Dominique Foxworth. Check him out at theundefeated.com. Also, check him out on Debatable, on Get Up. He be all over the place Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You the man, dog.
Yeah, I'm too old for that to be worth it. I don't want to be the man. Put some commas on that thing.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this 3 times a week. Gabe Bassane and Dave Presley handle things behind the scenes. Thank you, gentlemen. Remember, follow The Right Time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. And we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or follow on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.